Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. Today I've got a special episode for you guys. I'm joined by two people behind the content at EU Startups. Everyone give it up for David Sandon Garcia, news editor, and Antonio Lopez Escarzaga, head of content at EU Startups. We're going to get into what really drives startup media today, what's changed, what matters, and how startups can stand out. Welcome to the show, guys. So awesome to have you.
Hey, nice to meet you. You're on the other side of the screen now.
Yeah. So funny. It's so funny also like that you, it's... feels good. That feels good, though. I like it so far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe can each of you, briefly introduce yourselves and tell us what your role looks like day to day at EU Startups?
Sure. I'll start. It's okay. So I'm Antonio Escarzaga, head of content. And my day to day role has a lot of emails involved. I'm in charge of supervising the content, what goes through all EU Startups. This is articles, sponsor posts, social media, interviews, listicles, and of course, guest contributors. We currently have over 50 active people writing articles for us. So my job is a lot of planning and organizing daily, basically.
And Antonio, you like structure, as I know already. David, how about you?
Yeah, I'm similar to Antonio in the sense I have endless emails between two different mailboxes that I currently have to sift through. So I'm the news editor, so I'm in charge of the daily news output. That's around between 6 to 8 articles a day, depending on how quick I am that day and how much relevant news there is. And I focus on making sure that we've got the most up-to-date news out, the most important date. News and making sure that we're keeping up with our competitors.
Awesome. Sounds good, guys. Thanks for doing that and introducing yourselves. Let's just have a nice, spontaneous, natural conversation about it. We have some topics to cover. I know that you guys prepared for it. So whatever you feel comfortable with answering, just one of you can take the lead and go for it. So maybe let's start with, startup media landscape, which is changing. Also given the value of founders' personal content and distribution, do startups still need press or is LinkedIn their new launchpad?
I mean, social media has clearly empowered some founders and VCs, but only those who have known how to build them, how to build this personal branding. Mm-hmm. And it's also important to remember that not every startup or investor has a large or even relevant following. Like we all know, there are top voices, but normal people, we have our family, we have our close friends of friends. So it's not very relevant all the time, the following that we have. Mm-hmm. And also, as the saying goes, like history is usually written by those who win the battle. So it's very biased. Instead of like media outlets like us, like we cover like a lot range of news. And I think at the same time with tools like ChatGPT and AI generated content, which is very heavily used now, they have really changed the game. And everyone can write a press release now. Like the startups, they don't have to hire like these big PR companies anymore. So our role as traditional media has evolved a lot. Because we're no longer just reporting, we're also curating stories, we're filtering, we're adding context to them. So I think that's why they still need to be media outlets like us that are non-biased and we actually create content, not just something generated by AI.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. That's important because, it's not like the game is changing. It's not about like how many followers you have anymore. Like it's about the connection you actually have with people that consume your content. And, given the age and given the days that you have like so much content, which is generated by AI or bots and so on, it's really important to know, like to have this person that is behind the content and to connect with this person. So also, I think this is very timely, well placed to have you guys on the show to actually kind of show the faces behind the content that we create at EU Startups to people so they can actually have a connection, have this, feel relative to it. EU Startups you know, it isn't just a publication. We want it to be a community, right? From the conference to the newsletter, I was wondering, what do you think the magic behind the scene is that makes it feel like more than just a news site?
I mean, I think the magic is the people. Like, well, like you said, like people need to know the faces that are behind, because it's not only one person. Maybe people think that it's only like ChatGPT articles, and it's like we only get press release and post that, but we actually curate a lot of it. There's a lot of people behind it. Like I said before, we have over 50 guest contributors. These are CEOs, these are VC people. Like, it's a lot of people that contribute for this to work. It's a lot of information. And I think that it will be very dumb to think that one person could cover everything, because our knowledge is limited to certain things. So what we do is we have like this huge range of startup coverage, because, I mean, what are startups? Like, there's fintech, there's medtech, there's health tech. Like, there's, feels like every day there's like a new tech going. So how do you cover all of that? I think that's the magic, that we're a lot of people committed to just communicate well.
David, anything to add?
Yeah, I think I'd add that it's also, I have a feeling, and I think people who read us have this feeling as well, that we're on the ground. And at least we're much more like in the mud with all these startups, that we, you know, we care to hear about what they're talking about. And we don't only care about the huge funding rounds, you know, and I know at least myself, when I'm kind of getting the editorial calendar put together, I try my best to always put forward and to publish even the smaller news. And usually the smaller news is actually the one that gets us most traction, because it has a more passionate, interested audience. And the founders are more grateful. The founders are more involved with the story than something that's maybe 130 million Series C, even though that's very important news and we do need to cover it. It's also important to do the 1 million, the 500K, if I can manage it. So I think there is that, you know, if we're talking about the magic behind it, I think it's that we are all over the range and we do try to be even there for the smallest news and for the biggest.
Nice. I like it. I 100% agree. Yeah, it's and for people, it's even more sort of relatable when you're, you know, at this very early stage and you're having these first wins. And it's important for people to know about it, but also for those that get these wins to, you know, to celebrate them and to push them forward.
Also, the reality is that, the reality is that startup success is very hard to achieve. So people relate to what they know. And to be honest, like, most startups are small. They're like the big success stories. Like, yes, they're there, but they're very hard to achieve. Like, those unicorn status, like, they don't happen every day. So I think that's why it's also more relatable, like David said before.
Yeah, 100%. So maybe, guys, you could tell us also about the recent infographic on the European startup media landscape that I think you created. What were the key takeaways?
Okay, so not so long ago, we published a snapshot of European startup media landscape.
Yes.
Because there was a lot of conversation about TechCrunch leaving the European side. Mm-hmm. So this is something that we already published a few years ago and wanted to do it again. But it basically just showed how people are still interested in startups, because if you're talking to your startups, which organically speakers, we are the leaders in Europe, but also like the rest of the players in this game, we've all been consistently growing too. So that means that people still need this traditional, per se, media landscape, because we shape a broader narrative. We can identify patterns, we connect dots, and we elevate stories that otherwise might get go unseen for founders networks.
All right. Thanks, Antonio. So I was... One of the topics that I really wanted to cover with you guys is, you know, how startups can stand out. And I was wondering what catches your eye when you get a pitch or press release? What makes you go, okay, I really want to write a story?
Well, and I don't want to take the whole podcast, because I probably could just talking about that specific question. But I'll say specifically for me, with a journalism background, with the kind of pressing news background, what always catches my attention is when a startup connects their story, their funding round, to something that's happening in the news. That's something that's happening worldwide, European-wide, countrywide. So if we're talking about an energy startup and they say, well, this could help with the recent blackout in Spain, that catches my eye. Because I see the potential there, not just for a quick article about their funding round, but maybe something larger, maybe a commentary on what they're willing to provide, on what the reasons is. And that amplifies their story and our outlet to a larger audience. So what that to me is always something that will make me read it and with detail and consider it for more than just a quick 500 word article about their Series B.
Amazing. I actually like, I like the answer. So it's like this cultural relevance also, you know, what's currently happening, right? And like how they can, that's cool. That is actually a great tip for founders wanting to announce their rounds to get more audience to and get more people interested in it, to connect it with this kind of events. Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot.
And that can even be the news in of itself. So even if they don't have a funding to announce, if they can connect their mission to something that's happening now, then that will interest us. Because a lot of times I will get interesting stories, but there's no news angle to them. I could get a startup that's doing very interesting work, but if there's nothing new about it, then there's no real incentive for me to go ahead and publish them. Whereas if they don't have something to announce, but they can connect it to something that's happening and is relevant to people that are reading us, then we'll seriously consider it for publication.
It's nice. It's a nice marketing tip for startups and for founders, for the teams, marketing teams that are taking care of those.
And always attach an image. There's another tip I can give. Please, to God, attach an image with your article. Because if not, I have to spend 20 minutes sifting through the website, the social media, trying to find something that works. And then the picture's too small or it's blurry. And so always, please, attach a picture.
Makes sense. Makes sense, David. What's one common mistake founders or PR teams, make when reaching out to you?
Besides,
they're not attaching the image. We know that already.
that's number one. Without a doubt, that's number one. Number two is hyperbole, I think. Exaggeration. That actually makes me be less interested in they're talking about. Because if you tell me that if every other word is groundbreaking, innovative, revolutionary, my God, this is the best thing to happen to humanity since the sandwich, then I don't, I lose interest because I think that's not true. I'm sure it's very innovative. You're a company, for God's sake, so you should be doing something new. But don't feel the need to exaggerate. You know, I don't need you to sell me on this in a way that's just out of the range of normality. You can just tell me, this is what we do. This is why it's important. And that's going to keep me much more engaged as somebody involved in the news and somebody involved in journalism, than if you're trying to tell me this is just the greatest thing ever.
Nice. And guys, I already mentioned that, your startups try to be more than just a media side. It's like trying to build this community and be the community for people. How can a startup build a relationship with your startups beyond just trying to land the coverage?
I'm sure Antonio has something to say, because I think it's a bit different between the news and kind of content featurey things. With news, it's getting kind of a tailored message to me is always a good way of maintaining contact. So say, hey, David, I know you covered our previous whatever. You know, here we are with something new. And that makes me remember the name. That makes me remember the company. And it can start a dialogue between me and that person as to maybe I don't find this news that interesting. But I will consider it valuable to follow up and say, well, I'm not really interested. Maybe this is something that would be interesting in the future. Maybe this is something you could angle it as, because I value the relationship, because I value the fact that it's gotten something for me before. They've gotten a press release, they've gotten an article from me, and so we're kind of a symbiotic relationship, and we're surviving off each other. And that, I think, is the best way with me to establish a connection.
And also, people, they have to remember that we get a lot of emails on a daily basis, like hundreds of emails. So of course we cannot catch up with them immediately. So as David said, follow up, that like, I think that's the main key and the key word now is follow up with us. Like if you really think like your story is interesting and you made your research to know what we publish and that's between like the gaps, follow up again, but also like make your research on what we publish. Because for example, we had press releases from India, from, I don't know, Africa, from United States. It's like, okay, like, cool. Yes, it's a startup. Yes, it's innovative, but it's not European. Like, where are you based? Like, if your CEO is European, but he lives in the United States and the company is based in the United States, it's not a European company. So you really need to research what we cover. And if you don't know, ask us. Like, that could be like a nice intro text, like, hey, like, I do this, 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 this. Yeah. Is this something that you cover? I would gladly answer that. But then if you just send a press release from India and then you're following up like five times, it's like, no, like, do your research.
Yeah, it's in the name, EU startups. You really don't have to look that far. Yeah. You know.
I mean, time is precious for everyone, so value it. And we will go through all of the emails at some point. Like, we will go through them. But also, like, don't just bulk send emails because that takes your time, it takes our time, and it's just not going to work.
Guys, you publish a mix of, you know, news, listicles, interviews, and ecosystem stories. I wonder what type of content consistently performs best?
Depends on the week.
Listicles do the best. No, I mean,
yeah, I would say people really love top 10 things, top 20 things.
Okay.
Also because like there's more companies listed there, so people reshare and they're excited that they're there and the teams are there, so people share it and that makes like a snowball. But yeah, listicles, people love the top 5 most innovative startups in Spain or things like that. Yeah. But as far as content, it really depends on the week and what's trending. For example, before you could tell, in Spain at least, the most talking thing about was fintech. Mm-hmm. And now, for example, a few years ago, it all changes to AI. So what's the next big thing? Like there's a lot of buzzwords that once it becomes a buzzword, like it always appears. So I think like it's also like seasonal in some sort of way.
Got you. And it should be, right? It should change and like cater to the current, like what David was mentioning before, that it's, you know, the current events and the current cultural movements are important. So yeah, we should adapt to those. I know that you, you know, you see the startup media landscape up close every day. Do you see any, you know, trends or shifts or like what's one trend or shift that generally excites you right now?
For me, a trend that is super exciting right now is not like regarding startup media, but it's more about content. So also again with AI, like we've seen the transition from SEO, that is search engine optimization, to the new thing that is AEO. So it's answer engine optimization. What does this mean? Like this means that the content is shifting because before when you had a question, like you go through Google and you search for things rather than now with new technologies, you expect a direct and an answer directly from those apps. So the content needs to adapt to the large language models. So for example, like the listicles that we mentioned before, like the way the wording changes from SEO is like 10 fintech startups in Spain with AEO to help those machines search for your information will be what are the top 10 fintech startups in Spain? So there's like a slight of change, but that's also wording. And how will that modify the way we communicate in the future? So that for me is very exciting.
Guys, what's one thing we in the ecosystem could all do better to make startup storytelling more useful, more human, and more impactful?
I think I've heard this from another podcast, but I'm going to steal it, is we need to stop treating startup stories as press releases and start treating them as narratives. So it's basically what David said before, we need to add more context and we need to stop with the buzz and marketing words. So be real, like, what do you do? How do you do it? And how does it help your clients? Like founders are also not superheroes, they're real people. and the startups are not overnight successes. So we need to start becoming real. I think with all this social media happening right now, when you go to LinkedIn, it's like almost like 10 things I've learned while going to the bathroom. So it's like we need to start doing content that is actually helpful, because the information is already there. We have a lot of information. So we need to really dig in the important stuff. Like, I would love to see content of the big CEOs on the failures, how they went through them. Like, in this stage, this happened. So they can share their knowledge. Like, this is something from all the guest contributors that I try to subtract from them. It's like, okay, you're successful. You reached that level. But how did you do that? Because it wasn't from A to B. It was probably A, B, D, C, D. So there's many factors to the game. So I would love to see that in content, real content.
Yeah, I think I would add to that, that and it's kind of what you're saying, Antonio, but just to know what's relevant for us and what's relevant for another medium. You know, that maybe there's a story that's good for you, startups. Maybe there's a story that's good for LinkedIn. You know, that all these things, you know, the way we get out articles, content, whatever it is, it's so mixed now. It's not just through our website. There's social media, there's podcasts, there's video. So knowing what stories work for what medium, I think is important. You know, I've always thought that everyone can be a journalist. Not everyone is. So that you have to know what works for who. And there's a story that will work for journalists to cover, and they'll get the quotes and they'll get the figures. There's something that's going to work better for an influencer. There's something that's going to work better for a LinkedIn listicle. And just maybe kind of having that media literacy would go a long, long way.
That's actually nice to hear. So it's more about personalizing the message to your audiences. I think that's over like 500K monthly page views that your startup has, like 75K newsletter subscribers, and the strongest social media reach in Europe. What's next for EU startups? Like, how do you see it evolving over the next years?
You want to take this one?
Well, 10 years.
Not 10, next years, can be 2 years. Doesn't have to be 10.
I mean, what we're looking for is always organic growth. That's what we look for. We look for more people to be interested in us. Maybe, as David said, there's always been this competition between United States and Europe on startup, like launching and development. I would love to see more European companies taking the steps up, or also like Europe helping our startups to stay here. So that would mean also for us as EU startups that we cover more, that we have more, I don't want to say options, but I don't know how to phrase it. That we have a broader game, per se, that we can reach more people, that more people outside from Europe are interested. And also, like, as far as, for example, the event that we have, EU Startups, we're not only a media outlet. We also have European projects. We also have the EU Startup Summit that is growing every year. So right now we're having around 2,500 people attending this summit. I would love to see that exponentially grow, like being, I don't know, in 5 years, 5,000 attendees. In 10 years, let's like raise the level. But for that to happen, there's also need to be more interest from the audience. So I would want to see that grow over the next years.
Yeah. Yeah, I would add to that that it's I would like to see EU Startups recognized not only as a publisher, not only as a news aggregator, but as Antonio mentioned, the other things we do. You know, we have we do research on behalf of companies. I want to know more about startups. You know, Olga, our research analyst, does it. Luisa handles EU projects, and for people to turn to EU Startups, not only
out to Olga and Luisa. Come on, guys.
Yes, that's right. Essential part of the team. I mean, when you break down our team, really, if we're talking about content, you know, there's Antonio, myself. Olga contributes every now and then, Luisa occasionally. There's really just a handful of us. We have a company that does much more than that. And for us to be recognized on that level, that's not just publishing, but also EU projects for companies, I think that would be vital for EU Startups to kind of really grow and maybe not stagnate, not plateau.
Mm. Sounds awesome, guys. So this is kind of the time in on the show where I usually play a little game with my guests. It's like a rapid fire style game where I like shoot quick questions. You give me quick answers. Mm. Are you up for it?
Sure.
Let's do it.
All right. So the first one is going to go to David.
Okay.
David, favorite founder quote you've ever heard?
Okay. Well, that's good because I started an initiative here. It's called Quote of the Week. For those of you that don't know, it's very good. We publish it on Friday every week, and it's a quote taken from all of the articles, and the whole team votes published that week. And my favorite, I think, to date was one by Dimitar Vasilev, and he's a board member at the European Innovation Council. He spoke at the EU Startup Summit as well, and he contributed to an article that we published not so long ago, in which he said, Europe's future as a global innovation leader depends on ability to act together, not just as nations, but as one united startup ecosystem. And I think that kind of just plays into everything that I've been talking about and everything that we've been discussing here about the need for unity within Europe.
Awesome. Let's go. I liked it a lot as well. Thanks for sharing. One European city where you know the next unicorn is brewing?
I would say Tallinn, Estonia. Just one of the big ones. Well, they're growing a lot. Like, there's a lot of building up there. I think that those are often the places what you won't think about European unicorns develop so easily, but they're working, they're doing the job, they're going, and they're putting in the hours there, to be honest. Like, and it's also easier because they have more governmental support. It's not like huge capitals that there's a lot of competition. So, you know, I think Tallinn could be a nice place for the next unicorn.
Awesome. Also to both of you, complete the sentence. This is going to be the last one. The future of startup media is?
Bright.
Organic.
Nice. Bright and organic. This is awesome. Thank you so much, guys, for joining me today. Everyone, give it up for Antonio and David. I hope you had fun. I had a lot of fun. I think people have fun listening to it as well. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks to you.
Thank you, Martian. Yes.
See you next week.
Pleasure.